good afternoon, good night.
This is Kinley
and Brooklyn.
And today we will be talking about samurai,
which are Japanese soldiers and Chinese. So, Kinley has pulled up facts about samurai.
Last episode, we talked about Black Death, and it kind of just ended by the amount of quarantine that people were doing, because they were quarantined a lot, kind of like we are.
Yes, how we were staying home.
Quarantine will definitely help it by science, by facts, by history.
Yes.
Period.
Today, in this session, we're going to talk about samurai, which are Japanese soldiers who used to fight and kill people for
a living, basically.
Yes, but it was a good
thing. It was good. It was kind of like war, but for Japanese. And
yeah. It was how they defended Chinese. Themselves, and I guess you could say how they played offense. So
no, sometimes defense.
Yes. Yeah, so
if you see as a sports, they were defense and offense. So,
and Kinley has pulled up some facts about samurais. Smells good right now. So, here is the first fact. Did you know that they followed a code called Bushido? So, it's spelled Bushido with a line on top. And what Bushido means is the way of the warrior. The samurai followed an unwritten code of conduct, later formalized as Bushido, loosely comparable to the European code of chivalry. So that was basically what Bushido kind of meant for them. The second fact...
Very sentimental, I'm guessing.
Kinley's going to read that off.
They were an entire social class. Originally, samurai was defined as those who serve in close attendance to the nobility. In time, it evolved and became associated with the bushi class, particularly middle and upper tier soldiers. In the early part of Tonguwa, sorry for saying that wrong. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Period. 1603 through 1867, the samurai became a closed caste as part of the larger efforts to freeze and stabilize the social order. Although they were still allowed to wear the two swords that were embellished to their social position, most samurai were forced to become civil servants or take up a certain trade. At the peak, up to 10% of Japan's population were samurai. Today, every Japanese person is said to have some samurai blood in them.
Yes.
Whoa, so tradition is passing on samurai blood in people's veins.
Crazy.
Third question is going to Brooklyn.
All right. They fought with a variety of other weapons, so not just swords. Because they're swords, the samurai would often use the yumi, a long bow. they religiously practiced with. They would also use the yari, a Japanese spear.
Once again, sorry if I say some things wrong. We are not.
Yes.
We don't speak this.
When gunpowder was introduced in the 16th century, the samurai abandoned their bows in favor of firearms and cannons. The Tanegashima, basically spelled as Tanegashima, that a long-distance flintlock rifle became this weapon of choice among Edo era. Oop, I'm sorry, did not mean to do that. Sorry, lost the facts. Anyhow. A flintlock rifle became the weapon of choice among Edo-era samurai and their footmen. So that was just another fact about samurai. And moving on to the fourth.
Their armor was highly functional. Unlike the clunky armor worn by European knights, the samurai armor was designed for mobility. A samurai armor had to be sturdy yet flexible enough to allow free movement in the battlefield. Made of lacquered plates of either metal or leather. The armor would be carefully bound together by laces of leather or silk. The arms would be protected by large rectangular shoulder shields and light armored sleeves. The right hand would sometimes be left without a sleeve to allow maximum movement. The samurai helmet, called a kubato, was made of riveted metal plates, while the face and brow were protected by a piece of armor that tied around behind the head and under the helmet. The kubako often featured ornaments and attachable pieces, such as demonic masks that protected the face and would be used to intimidate the enemy. Brooklyn, with our fifth fact?
Yes, and by the way, we won't have much time today because almost done with class, but the fifth fact. Let's see, they were highly literate and cultured. So the samurai were far more than just warriors.
Sorry if you hear background.
Sorry, continuing. The samurai were far more than just warriors. As the essential nobility of their era, the majority of samurai were extremely well educated. Bushido, their code word, dictated that a samurai strive to be better himself in a multitude of ways, including outside combat. Samurai were generally high, literate, and skilled in mathematics. The samurai culture produced a great number of uniquely Japanese arts, such as the tea ceremony, rock gardens, and flower arranging. They studied calligraphy and They studied calligraphy and literature, wrote poetry, and produced ink paintings. So the samurais were not just all tough and big. They studied literature and calligraphy and really studied on, I guess you could say, English. If you go to English class, this is kind of what they do. So
tell
they
your teacher
still
about it and they would be impressed.
Yes, these samurais are not tough on the inside.
Wow.
So coming, Kenley, on our sixth fact.
There were female samurai warriors.
This is for all the females.
Yes. Although samurai was strictly a masculine term, the Japanese bushi class did include women who received the same training in martial arts and strategy as samurai. Samurai women were often referred to as ono bushigira and fought in combat alongside male samurai. So they were, not enemies. The weapon of choice on the ono bushigira was the naginata, and spear with a curved sword-like blade that was versatile and relatively light. Recent archaeological evidence indicates that Japanese women participated frequently in battles. DNA tests conducted at the site of the 1580 Battle of Sanbun Misra show that 35 out of 105 bodies were female. So there was a lot of female.
So,
do the math if you want. I don't really care right now.
Not just boys, samurais. So our seventh and maybe last fact. Foreigners could become samurai. So I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, but foreigners could become samurai. Under special circumstances, an individual from outside Japan could fight alongside the samurai. In some rare cases, they could even become one. This special honor could only be bestowed by powerful leaders such as the shogun or daimyos. And there are four European men who were recorded as having gained samurai status: the English sailor William Adams, his Dutch colleague Jan Justen van Loudenstein, the French Navy officer Eugene Kulosh, and armors dealer Edward Chanel. So basically, they had lots of people become, I guess we could say, a samurai. There were lots of people and things that become samurais, and also samurais who were very special. So this will probably be the end of this session today.
We are so sorry. People are being really rude.
Sorry. But good night, good afternoon,
and good morning.
This was Kenley. Oh, sorry. This was Brooklyn.